The Old Testament reading for the Ascension of our Lord is from 2 Kings chapter 2. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went, and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak, and rolled it up, and struck the water. And the water was parted to the one side and to the other, till the two of them could go over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what shall I do for you, before I am taken from you?" And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces, and he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him, and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him, and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho saw him opposite them, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rest on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to God.
Second reading is from Acts chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jesus, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when they had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord. According to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Jesus said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and said to them, Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer, and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will come into the same way as you saw him going into heaven. You may be seated. So St. Luke, who wrote our gospel reading today, also wrote the book of Acts. And if you notice, his gospel ends with the account of the ascension, and the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, also begins with the ascension of our Lord. So here are two accounts of the ascension of Jesus by the same author. So from just that observation alone, the ascension is shown to be of great importance in the life of Christ and the church. And so it's after this event, then, that Luke in Acts records what happened in the early days of the church. Ascension is the sort of launching point, all right, fine guys, if you will, for God's people as they now gather together until the Lord returns again. But how often, we always say Christ our crucified and risen Lord, we don't always say our ascended Lord as well. I was recording a podcast this morning, and the pastor who was hosting it, who's a pastor in Illinois, he told me he played a recording of his 2-year-old daughter talking about Christ our Lord is crucified, he is risen, he is ascended. You know, he was getting her to confess the ascension today. But as we hear this account, we notice a few things and why it is important for our lives and the life of the church. Listen again from Luke's gospel. While he, Jesus, blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. So here then, the apostles, after they're a bit confused and they see this happen before their eyes, what do they do after the ascension? They go. And did you catch something about them? They go to Jerusalem with great joy. Why was that? Because you hear about that in the Old Testament reading with Elijah and the chariots of fire. Elisha was sad that his master was going away from them. But here the apostles, Jesus himself goes, and they have great joy. Well, it's always tempting for our fallen flesh and reason on Ascension Day for us to think Jesus is far from us. Look around. Do you see him? It would be, though, to have ramifications in what this means to be God's people and the church, and who Jesus is now, if our Lord, though, was not here. So it causes you to pause, to take note of these things, to listen at what God is teaching you. And when you fix your eyes on Christ and who he is, you do have that same joy as the apostles did on that ascension day. So Jesus is ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, just as you confessed in the creed a few minutes ago. But you see, if Jesus were just a mere man, he would be far from you. Man cannot be in more than one place at once, as so when someone goes away is not with you, they are absent, they're missed. Elijah went into heaven. He was no longer with Elisha. And so it's tempting to think the same way about Jesus when he goes into heaven. Now on the flip side of that, Jesus is God, so we think he can be everywhere, yet how can this humanity be there too? We think, well, maybe he no longer is man. Our senses and our reason want to believe other than what the scriptures teach. We're okay with understanding that Jesus is fully God and he can be with us. But what about that flesh and blood that the disciples saw go into heaven right before their very eyes? But what does that ultimately deny if our Lord's humanity cannot be with him even at his ascension? And so the ascension then is so much more and so much more wonderful. Jesus has accomplished your salvation. And the way that the Formula of Concord talks about the ascension, it talks about him filling all things at his ascension. Filling all things. Because you see, your Lord is present. He's present everywhere, not only as God, but also as man. And he does this even as he rules and reigns, and you have the fruits of the Lord's ascension. And so that's the thing today. The Lord is uplifted in triumph. He is the crucified and risen Lord. All that has held you captive, sin, death, the devil, the Lord has made captive, and he has set you free. Ephesians 4:8. The Holy Spirit inspired St. Paul to write, when he, Jesus, ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. So as you gather on this day, on the day of the ascension, you gather as free people, people who are forgiven, people who are heirs of eternal life. And so the Lord sent out his apostles then. They went out with joy to preach. In the gospel reading, Jesus said, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer on the third day, rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And so the apostles went with joy into Jerusalem. And they were waiting for the day of Pentecost, which would come soon enough. But they were being sent out to give Christ and his benefits to his people. They were to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins, law, gospel. This would be their proclamation to all nations. So in 10 days, the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon them. He didn't send them out alone, no, but he did so as they bore the name of the Holy Trinity, who went along with them. Jesus himself was with them, even as he had shown them all things were fulfilled in him. And so Jesus gives you that promise that he is also with you, always, even to the end of the age, as Matthew's account of the ascension has. He's present with you in your life and present for you. Though you no longer see him with your eyes like the disciples did, that doesn't mean he isn't present with you. And this isn't some spiritual warm thought, but a real and concrete presence. In the reading from Acts, the Lord was overshadowed by a cloud. A cloud took him out of their sight, Luke recorded for us. He is out of sight, but still near and at the right hand of the Father. So going back to that initial question, can he be both places? Yes, he can. He's God. Is he present only in his divinity? No. The two natures, his human and divine, are united together. And where he is in his divine nature, he is also present in his human nature. His whole person as the Son of God is present in your life, always. And as if that wasn't enough, he tells you, he promises you where you find him present for you and for your forgiveness, for your life and salvation. The means of grace, the word, are where your Lord promises to be and present for you, his word and sacraments. And Jesus is also at the right hand of the Father interceding for you. And that means, too, he's there in his humanity. The flesh and blood of a man, sinless and glorified, is at the right hand of God praying for you. Jesus is your brother, whose blood pleads your case before the throne of God, and who prays for you as your mediator. In some ways, then, the wonder and glory of Ascension Day is the wonder and the glory of the Incarnation. There's comfort in knowing your Lord, the Son of God, is at the right hand of the Father, and he is there for you. That same human flesh and blood which was in the womb of the Virgin Mary, which lived a perfect, obedient life, which died on the cross, which is risen from the grave, is the same Lord who is at the right hand of the Father, praying for you and ruling his church with his word and sacraments. So all of this then comes to a head in your life. Take, for example, this evening. It's always a wonderful thing. We're gathering this night in this courtyard, right? And what's before you? Here you are. You're hearing the word of God. The Lord is with you. And you know that he fills all things and he's here now. He has led the captives of sin, death, and the devil. He's led them fleeing and he's accomplished your salvation. Now he has called you in his own baptismal waters. He's gathered you together as his church. He rules and governs you with his mercy, forgiving you and giving you eternal life. And what else? We always notice that that's the picture of the ascension there, over the crucified Lord. And what's there on that altar? Well, combined with his word, he gives in his own body and blood. His own true body and blood given and shed for you. So that same Lord who ascended into heaven, who went out of sight of the apostles, is the same Lord who's here tonight for you right now. His hands, pierced hands, bless the apostles, and he does for you, even as his word is preached, and he gives you his own body and blood to eat and to drink. So the apostles went with joy back into Jerusalem and worshiped in the temple. So, dear people of God, rejoice. Have that same joy this day of ascension because Jesus is with you and you are his. And he also promises you that he is coming again. The angel preached this to the apostles as they looked dumbfounded when they were witnessing all this sight. He said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So Jesus is coming again. The day will come when you will see him face to face, and no longer in veiled means, but with your own two eyes. Even as your own two eyes and your own body, your own flesh and blood will be raised from its grave. That's the day promised to you on this day as well. So the Ascension Day is also a preaching to you that your Lord is coming again and that you too will be raised from your grave. And so we go back to those words ending our Luke's gospel account. And they, the apostles, worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, blessing God. So they left that site with joy. And you can leave this place tonight in that same joy. You have the presence of Jesus. You have the scriptures open to you. You have the gift and promise of the Father and the Holy Spirit. The ascended Lord is with you always in the baptizing, teaching, and Lord's Supper of his church. He is here for you until the end of time when you keep coming back and back into this place. So rejoice here in this temple, this church. Keep coming back where your ascended Lord has promised to be and invites you to be here to shower you with his gifts. And confess boldly the great comfort that is Ascension Day. Confess with the creed, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And when you confess those words, when you look in to see your Lord and what he has done, know what this all means, and what this means as you rejoice in your Lord, who is near and who is yours, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.